Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight decided to become an actress in 1929 at age 14 in Chicago. She founded Detroit's first black modeling agency and in 1964 opened a finishing school within Motown Records to teach Diana Ross, Stevie Wonder, Martha and the Vandellas, Smokey Robinson, The Temptations, and Marvin Gaye how to move and groove gracefully. She believes that we are all flowers in a garden. Her name, Miss Maxine Powell. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Miss Maxine Powell, who believes that we're all flowers in a garden. Miss Powell, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Well, thank you. I am jumping with joy. My heart is to be here.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Can we start by you talking about your mom and your dad?
Well, my mother was, I would say, I never even met my mother until I was 22 years old. And my father, I knew him, and when I was about 7, he passed away. But my father married my mother when she was just 15 years old. And I understand that she looked older, and he was shocked that she was only 15. But what would a 15-year-old know about rearing a child? My father thought. And so my aunt, in fact, my great aunt, he wanted her to rear me. And she lived in Chicago, and this was in Texarkana, Texas. So at 6 months old, he took me to Chicago to my aunt, and he must have been a beautiful fella because my aunt is my mother's aunt, so she wouldn't have accepted it, you see. But he wanted me to be an outstanding class lady, and my aunt was all of that, and he thought that that was the only way I would get what he wanted me to have, or what he felt as his daughter deserved.
Can you talk about your childhood in Chicago?
Oh, in Chicago, as I said, my Aunt Mary, she was very, very strict, and she was a very, very class lady. And of course, most people will say, class? African American? And so, yes. She was a very class lady, and she did not work because my uncle at that time, things were a lot different in that day than it is today. And so he wanted to make a certain amount of money so that he can live in a certain area and that they could give me the things that would make me outstanding and peace of mind and all. So he was very, very fair in color. And he passed for another race. I don't know what race, but he did pass for another race. And he did make a lot of money because of whatever he did. And so my aunt could stay home and work with me and work with others.
It's Chicago. It's 1929, the start of the Depression. You're 14, and you decide you want to be an actress.
Oh, but can we back up just a minute?
Sure.
I really started at 12 years old. I was trying to find out why there was such a difference between Caucasian people and black people other than the color. So I said to my aunt, I would hear them middle class talking about different things. This wasn't right and that wasn't right and whatever. And I said, well, let's make it right. And she said, well, we can't. They have to do this talking about the black male or they'll put them in jail. I said, well, let them put them in jail. What difference does it make? But I didn't realize at that time they might be cruel to them or whatnot. So that was not the thing. So, but then I seemed to think that I don't care how bad something is or how ugly it looks, there must be a solution. So I said to my aunt, well, can we go to the library? I didn't know if she knew. It looked like she was so beautiful, never raised her voice, and I wanted to go and see what they said in the dictionary or whatever. So I went, and she did. She took me, and I found out that the only difference was the color of the skin of Caucasians and African-American. I don't think we were African-American then. I think it was colored or Negro or something like that. But anyway, we found out that people were born by two people become intimate with each other. It had nothing to do with color or whatnot. And then we searched, and she let me do it, and I found out that it took like 9 months to develop a beautiful, unique human being. And then I said, well, what else? And so then I found out that, unless it was an unusual birth, they were all born from the same part of the body. So then I laughed and I said, oh, good, I learned that. I said, well, then let's go farther. What is it then? It's the caste system and society that sets the rules and regulation of what is proper, what isn't proper, and who should be liked and who should be rich and who whatever. Well, I said, well, that's simple. And she said, oh, no, it's not simple. I said, well, it can be changed. It may take a long time. And so that's how I found out that there was, and looked like it became my mission from that time on to figure out how to uplift African Americans so that they could stand tall anywhere.
We're talking to Miss Powell, and Marvin Gaye loved her so much that he made her the godmother to one of his sons. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Crisula.
Welcome back. We're with Miss Maxine Powell. Miss Powell, it's 1951. And you found Detroit's first black modeling agency and finishing school. How did you ever get the courage to do that?
Courage? I don't think it took courage. What? It was a matter of wanting something. When I was in Chicago, I always wanted to be a model. And I saw Bette Davis, and I admired her and wanted to act like her. And so I went to a studio, drama studio, and they listened to me and told me that my voice was too high to be an actress. I'd said I wanted to be an actress all my life. I said my voice was too high and that I felt crushed. They said by the time my voice reached the audience ear, it would sound like a bad record. And I was crushed. But then the director said, but I can help you. And I perked up naturally. And he said, if you will come into my studio Monday through Friday for a half an hour, I'll bring your voice down to the third register. And I said, I would know. I said, what is the third register? And he said, do, re, mi, mi, mi. So for 8 long years, I went into his studio and worked a half an hour. And so I, and the same thing with the, I just wanted to be, you're a human being, and you have likes and you have dislikes and things you dream of and want to be. It has nothing to do with the color. Courage, if a kid, they want, I want this, I want that, I want the other, you just want. And if you don't, if you're not successful, this is because somebody hinders you or don't allow you to train so you can be that. And the same thing with the finishing school. When I came here, I didn't come here to open up a finishing school. I came here because I was an actress, a successful actress, and a dramatic reader and a pantomime. In Chicago, they presented me in 2 one-woman show. I was had taken the course under... cosmetology course, by the way, under the direction of Madam Walker. And then with being acting, I was tired, and I read in a magazine that the Gotham Hotel could compete with any Caucasian hotel. And I said to my sisters, well, I think I'll call the Gotham Hotel and see if I can make reservations and see what it's like and stay for a week. And they say, good, you need it. And when I called, they said that they couldn't put me up. They were so busy. But they could a couple of days. So I went a couple of days, and they didn't bother me. They didn't ask me to move or whatnot. And finally, I went downstairs to the restaurant, and they had a restaurant, and it was called the Ebony Room. And it was as swanky as the restaurants that they have today. The maitre d' was in a tux, and I waited 45 minutes to be seated, and people were coming in 10s and 12s and whatnot. Finally, they did seat me with a person that lived in the hotel and was having dinner. And the maitre d' said to me, I'm sorry I've kept you waiting 45 minutes, but there is a lady that's having dinner and in the dining room here, and she said, I may seat you with her if it's all right with you. I said, oh, I'd be delighted. And she turned out to be Mrs. Stinson, the funeral home's niece. And so she was on my floor. Wasn't that a coincidence? I was in 614 and she was in 617. So we became friendly.
What do you say to a person that says, I have a big dream, but it's impossible for me to ever achieve it? Or I'm afraid to go after a big dream. What do you say to them?
Oh, I'll say, well, you're really dreaming that? You really want that? And naturally, they would respond in a positive way. And I say, well, you can have that if you want to. I can help you by helping you build confidence, by helping you first find out who you are and what makes you tick, and then helping you to develop a sense of confidence that you can do anything in the world. It may be slow. You may need a lot of help. But I know that you can do it. Let me help you. Let me help you en masse so that you can learn what a beautiful, unique flower you are.
If I don't have self-confidence, how do I get it?
Well, that's my secret. That's my thing. It's to help you get rid of whatever you have that is self-destructive. And it's only a feeling, you see? So the first thing I work with is body language. It speaks volumes about you. And then the second thing is learning the power of the positive spoken word, such as, for instance, I'm stupid, you're stupid, you make me sick, you get on my nerve. I said, well, look at your expression. Look how you look. Let's just change that. In other words, what you should say is the person is difficult. It makes you smile. It relaxes you from within. So these are just two of the methods, or three of the methods, that I use to help people find themselves and know how great they are and to get rid of anything that holds you back. It takes time.
Diana Ross was performing on Broadway in 1976. During the performance, she looked out into the audience and saw Miss Powell. She stopped, she asked Miss Powell to come up, and she said, "This is the lady who taught me everything I know." And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Miss Maxine Powell. Miss Powell, you don't look a day over 50. Every time I've been with you, you dress fabulous. You have the enthusiasm of a 10-year-old. And you have a fascination for life. You love life. You are a beautiful flower. What do you say to a listener tonight who's 80, 85, 90, who just says, "Miss Powell, I'm tired. I'm no good. I don't have any value. I can't help anybody. I just want to die."
Oh, I would say, you want to die? Let's change that. You mean you want to live. And you want to learn how to live, even with your pains or whatever you have. You deserve to live. Let me help you by trying to get the best doctor, the best medication that we can so you feel better. We're going to give you a few exercises, sitting or lying down, I'll help you, and you begin to feel better. We'll change your diet because you are what you eat, and we will start to give you things not to lose food, not to lose weight, but to inspire you and to help you to feel better and to give you some energy. You are what you eat. So why don't you allow me to help you? I think you deserve to really live.
You seem to focus just on today, one day at a time. Live today as if this is your greatest day. How do I do that? How do I learn to do that?
Easy. Change your thoughts. Change your thoughts. You know, your mind, your brain, your mind works wonders for you through thoughts. See, even if you think, "Oh, I'm not, that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen." Say it anyway. I'm going to do whatever it is that I want to do. I want to live. I want to be beautiful. We'll say beautiful words. We'll use poetry. We'll work with many different things, too. I've worked that way with the artists. I had one artist who didn't wake up well. I didn't speak to anyone pleasantly till after 12 o'clock. I finally said to that artist, "Would you like to?" One day they were just so beautiful, laughing and whatnot. I said, "Would you like to wake up feeling like this?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, let's start with a joke book." Now, we may not be very funny, but we'll look around until we can find the best. I want you to get up every morning reading this joke book, every night going to bed reading it. Read aloud so that if you have a problem pronouncing a word, you won't skip over it. You'll try. Long as you try to move forward, you're going to be okay.
Stevie Wonder came back to Detroit for Earl Van Dyke's funeral. He hadn't been with Miss Powell for over 15 years. Miss Powell went up to him and said, "Stevie, this is Maxine Powell. Do you remember me?" He said, "Do I remember you? You're the one that brought joy to my life." And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Miss Maxine Powell, who had a very successful finishing school for 13 years, and in 1964 she closed it and opened another finishing school in Motown. And you begin to help Diana Ross, Stevie Wonder, Martha and the Vandellas, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, The Temptations, and Marvin Gaye, how to move and groove gracefully. Can you tell us about that experience?
Well, yes. I thought about changing, and I said, now, it's my mission to uplift my race. Because they couldn't go to college back in the old days because they didn't have the money and things were a lot different than they are today. So I figured that class would help them. Class will turn the heads of kings and queens. And so I thought of this finishing school. And when I went into Motown, there was a whole group. I didn't have to sit and wait for students to come, or clients, whatever you want to call them, to come to take my course. Here was a group of youngsters who were not rowdy or disrespectful, but some of them were rude and crude and speaking the street language. And I thought, well, this is where I should be, to offer them stage technique. As I said to the artists, I opened up, I had them all sit in a circle, because I believe that everybody is somebody. And I was not interested in singing because I can't even hold a note. And I told the artist that. And I said, but you're going to be trained to appear in number one places around the country and even before the Queen of England and the President of the United States. Those youngsters looked at each other and then they looked at me and they laughed and they said, that woman's crazy. All we want is a hit record. They did not have the vision at that particular time. So they, as they sit in a circle, I told them what we were going to do. And I said, but now some of the things that I'm going to make you aware of or reinforce. I never like to make anybody feel they don't have anything to offer, or reinforce what you already have that you're not using. I said, so don't confuse me. You've heard some of these things before that I'm going to make you aware of. So don't confuse me with your mother, because you see, she's stuck with you and I'm not. I'm only here to help enrich your life and help you to skip to the bank, because that's the bottom line. And you do not have to do any of the things that I make you aware of or suggest, because you have a choice of your life. It's just that Mr. Gordy and I say we would like you just the same, but you can't stay here. So they knew from the beginning, if they wanted to learn and grow and become famous, it was okay. And if they didn't, we were not going to push like your mother has to do, you see. So that's what I did. And they went to school with me 4 years, 2 hours every day. And then I went on the road with them. And I taught a stage technique and how to use a mic, because that's very important, see. And then how to carry yourself, how to be a diplomat, oh, so many things, hundreds of things. And then also, don't tell us, I don't believe in excuses, like the band playing too loud or the band is playing wrong or whatnot. They were taught how to stop in a diplomatic way and say, oh, I don't think we're together. We'll have to start all over. And I said, and that's what has to happen. Don't come off and tell me what the band didn't do. It's what you do. They didn't come to hear the band. They came to hear you.
What separates the great singers from the good singers?
Well, there's three. There is a singer, an entertainer, and a performer. And so they were taught to be performers, which means that you have to find out who you are. You see, knowledge of self is the master key to success. So when you find out who you are, you'll be able to do anything because you're willing to listen and learn and take your time. It isn't always easy. It's a slow process.
You know, when we had lunch the other day, Miss Powell, we talked about this October 4th day of motivation, and I said, are you going? After having lunch with you and listening to you now, you shouldn't go to this day of motivation. You should be on the stage telling Colin Powell and Rudy Giuliani, Zig Ziglar, and Robert Schuller. They should be in the audience, and you're the one that should be. This is Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Miss Maxine Powell, who for 15 years was a personal skills instructor at Wayne County Community College. Miss Powell, who are your heroes?
Well, I watched Jackie Kennedy as one, and Lena Horne, I had the pleasure of meeting her and also seeing her perform in England at the Talk of the Town. And she remembered me and all of that. And then also Barbra Streisand. Now, Jackie Kennedy, I loved her because at one time she seemed to be, as I read, I kept up with her all the time. And it seems that she was a bit not sure of herself, but her mother saw that she moved from one spot to the other. And the reason was because she had a large head, and then it was, and then a head full of hair, and which was good. And she was very tall and not, and kind of a straight figure, not very curvy. And then I think that she wore a size large shoe, and her girlfriends were just the opposite. They were shorter and very curvy, 19 waist and this, that, and the other. And so her mother, her dressmaker first said, I don't know why Jackie don't feel so good about herself, said, because when she has an appointment with me, she's here, if it's 5 o'clock, she's here at 4:45. She is just class, and she is just this, that, and the other. And the other girls will not show up and don't call me and act like it's okay. But then her mother sent her, I was reading, to a designer school, not to become a designer, but to learn how to work with her body, you see, by designing. And she had just the perfect curve in her shoulder here that gave her the advantage of wearing a sleeveless that looked good, and then straight, because she didn't have the curves, so it just hung. I don't know if they call that a shift or a shell. I don't know what they call it, but it was straight. And then she found out that furs and fancy jewelry and whatnot overpowered her. She had a certain look and a certain manner about her that she didn't need that. So then she wore expensive material. Because, and having her clothing made, because some of the material I read costs as much as hand-beaded dresses, you see. And then she wore the color that did something for her. And everyone has an undertone. And she just did such beautiful things for her figure and whatnot. Then the mother had to think about moving her from there. So then she went into studying photographer. Because then this and interviewing. Because this way you could meet, how should I say that? You could meet future husbands or whatever, you see, and people that were worthwhile and in the driver's seat, because then you're interviewing senators and you're interviewing different people in different fields and whatnot, and you're taking their picture and whatnot. And of course, she was a class act and knew how to dress and bring out her beauty, and she was really in a beauty. And
you often say that people are beautiful flowers in God's garden. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I think that, how should I say it? I think that if there's a trillion or more flowers in one setting, each one of those flowers, regardless of the color of the flower, the size of the flower, the price of the flower, they all have something to offer. And that's how I see people, as flowers, you see. And like a rose, I like to say, is one of the most beautiful flowers, but it also has a thorn on it. And then there's the cactus. It's a flower. So I think of that with people. We're not perfect. And if you believe in the Bible, it says you grow in grace. And you can't get mixed up with revenge. God said, vengeance is his. I know it's difficult. When someone does something to you ugly, you want to fight back. But you have to fight against that and use that energy for growth in something that is going to help you to be a winner. And that's what I think of people. I think they all are beautiful. You know, I think that we are the ones that brand everybody. You stupid, you dumb, you crazy. That person ain't got no sense or whatnot. I think there's a reason why you do these things. Maybe there are things that you shouldn't do. But some people have a couple of personalities in one body, or three. And then some people have a chemical imbalance in the brain. It doesn't mean that you're crazy. It just means you need some medication to help you along.
What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
I would say, find out who you are. Most people, if you say, who are you, they tell you their name. But that's not who you are. Someone gave you that name. So you have to make the name. And then you have to find out what affects you. Are you sensitive? Are you overly sensitive? Are you judgmental? And what is it that you need to improve on? And don't tell me you don't have no money. If I had money, or if I had this or the other, don't think that way. If you can think and dream and believe that no matter what happened, just write it down. Even if you think it can't happen, write it down. Dream it. Think it. Use your imagination and see yourself in that position. And then draw it if you can draw. And just keep thinking that you can win and you will find a way. And you will find a way. You will find a way.
What dreams do you still have at age 91?
I am not 91. And I wish you wouldn't say that because I won't get any more jobs. Because in this city and around in Detroit and around the world, they are just so up on age. Let me tell you something. I have never been to a hospital in my life. I have never had a headache. I've never had an operation of any kind. I do not have high blood pressure. I am not a diabetic. I don't have a heart condition. And I don't rub with anything. And I don't take any medication. And I can't be 91. And whatever you say about me, think of what I can do. I walk 4 miles, 15 minutes a mile. And so if you say that, she's 91, who's going to call me? Who's going to call me for advice or whatnot? I think we go around too much on 91 or 90 whatever or 70 or what. I am not 91. Please.
I apologize. Miss Powell still offers individual consultations. You can reach her at 313-331-4333. She can change your life like she has for tens of thousands. Miss Powell, I want to say thanks for coming on. God's got to be looking down and say, you're one of the greatest flowers that ever was created. Honored to have you.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be here, and my heart is jumping for joy that you invited me. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Please tune in next Sunday evening. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoiler.